SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
SBS, a world of difference. You're with NITV Radio, on mobile, online and on radio.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land NITV Radio broadcasts from, the Cammeraygal people and their elders past and present. We also acknowledge all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander tribes and clans we broadcast to, from the mountains to the plains, from the desert to the sea, from fresh water to salt water.
Yiridjimarang, hello, I'm your host Luana Grant and welcome to NITV Radio for this Friday, the 29th of March. Coming up on today's show, NITV Radio chats to Sani Ray Townsend from Bangarra Dance Theatre about Dance Clan 2024, a program for emerging and mid-career Indigenous creatives who have the opportunity to collaborate with leading industry professionals while creating a series of short original dance works with Bangarra. We also share NITV News' Maddie Mills sit-down interview with Becca Hatch, a proud Kamilaroi and Samoan singer and songwriter, to chat about her new single, Bass Keeps Calling. And we share a few top stories from our NITV News team. All these stories and more coming to you after the news wrap of the week.
Australia Day 1972 saw the first Aboriginal embassy erected outside Parliament.
The native title legislation must be amended.
And they've walked this land so many times before anybody came.
I am sorry.
Northern Territory Police Commissioner Michael Murphy says officers will use discretion and common sense to enforce a youth curfew in Alice Springs. The curfew is in place for a fortnight between 6pm and 6am and is designed to reduce the incidence of crime. Commissioner Murphy says young people who are working in Alice Springs or families with children can still come into town during the curfew hours.
If you're a family and you've got young kids coming to have dinner in the CBD, you can still do that. You can go about your lawful business. It's about the unlawful conduct and the crimes that we're trying to control and put those measures in place under the provisions of the Emergency Management Act.
While Prime Minister Anthony Albanese has reiterated his support for local authorities in the Territory.
We are continuing to monitor what is happening there. We have a $250 million program in Alice Springs. All Australians will be concerned by the scenes that we have seen. There has been a temporary curfew put there in Alice Springs. That is a sensible move and one that the federal government supports.
The Northern Territory Children's Commissioner says some young people in Alice Springs are not aware there's a nightly curfew in place. Commissioner Shailene Musk says she's concerned about the children who don't know about the curfew.
I worry that children who, through no fault of their own, who are unaware that the law has changed effectively overnight, are walking the streets at night and then get accosted by police.
An anti-corruption body investigating claims of racism within the Northern Territory's elite police unit has found evidence to support the allegation. A series of racist award certificates allegedly handed out by the Force's Territory Response Group came to light in February at a coronial inquest into the death of Indigenous man Kumanjai Walker. The certificates triggered a joint investigation into improper conduct within the unit by NT Police and the NT Independent Commissioner Against Corruption, Michael Richards. Mr. Richards says evidence collected so far supported the allegation that awards had been issued within the Territory's response group that were racist towards Aboriginal people. The Northern Territory's most powerful land council has criticised the government's handling of ex-tropical cyclone Megan, saying vulnerable people were left cold, hungry and in danger. The severe weather event tore through northeast NT on March 17, bringing heavy wind and rain and cutting off communities. An evacuation of the remote community of Borroloola on March 18 was initially called off after Australian Defence Force planes could not land as the eye of the cyclone neared. In a statement, Northern Land Council Chair Matthew Ryan says the government response was inadequate and put residents in danger. A minister in the NT government, Mark Monaghan, has defended his government's response.
And the bottom line with it is, if no one dies in these spaces, how could you say it was a horror? At the end of the day, that's our job, to keep people safe, and we did that with the emergency team and the incident controller managing that.
Victoria's Truth-Telling Commission has begun hearings into the historic injustices related to land, skies and waters on Gunditj Mara country. The Yurok Justice Commission travelled to the site where colonisation began in the southwest of the state, hearing evidence of theft and massacres from local elders and traditional owners. Commissioners were taken to the site of the Convincing Ground Massacre, Victoria's first recorded massacre. Commissioner Travis Lovett says the site was emblematic of broader colonial violence against First Nations peoples.
It is there that European whalers used their guns to fend off Kilgara Gunditj people from accessing their own resources, which they had done for thousands of years prior. First Peoples' land, water and resources were illegally and forcibly taken. We were denied access and the ability to practice our culture and speak our language. Our ancestors were slaughtered in massacres.
A mother in Darwin says she's feeling lucky despite spending 4 months without a home. Her family is one of 42 to be supported by a new housing affordability program in Darwin, where data shows the rate of homelessness is 12 times higher than any other jurisdiction. It's funded by $20 million from the Aboriginal Benefits Account, and it's hoped the program will make a difference. The wait for social housing in Darwin and Palmerston is now up to 10 years, and housing advocates say it's getting worse. Darwin mother Sarah Little told SBS Indigenous families are finding it especially hard to find housing.
I would go in with my kids. My Murray wouldn't feel comfortable to come in because I guess, you know, he felt like his appearance would turn them, you know, off us. And because I'm lighter skinned, maybe I'd pass as a white person. Yeah, everybody that I know, you know, like, have issues trying to get a house, especially if you're Indigenous. I don't know, we all just sort of feel the same. We're never going to get it. It's going to be really hard to be able to get a house through them.
Former AFL star Eddie Betts has shared a security video which shows a motorist driving past his home and yelling the N-word repeatedly. The Indigenous player posted the video on Instagram, which shows the car slowly driving past the house where children can be seen playing basketball next to the property. The driver shouts the N-word 4 times. Betts posted that Aboriginal kids deserve to be able to play safely, free from racism and abuse over the fence. AFL Chief Executive Andrew Dillon has committed to working with Sport Integrity Australia as the body investigates allegations surrounding the league's secretive illicit drug tests. But Dillon remains unapologetic about the AFL giving club doctors the power to withdraw players from games if they are in danger of testing positive on match days. Federal MP Andrew Wilkie told Parliament three people with former connections to the Melbourne Football Club alleged that players who tested positive to off-the-book test had been told to fake injuries and pull out of games in order to avoid match day testing by SIA. LGBTIQ plus advocates in Thailand's capital city, Bangkok, are celebrating as the country moves one step closer to legalising same-sex unions. Thailand's parliament overwhelmingly approved a marriage equality bill, a landmark step that could see the country becoming Asia's third territory to legalise same-sex unions. The bill, which has been more than a decade in the making, still requires approval from the Senate and endorsement from the King before it becomes law and would take effect 120 days later. After a 2-year inquiry into the Black Summer bushfires, a coroner has handed down 28 recommendations for better bushfire management. The bushfires in New South Wales took 25 lives and burnt more than 5.5 million hectares of land. State Coroner Magistrate Teresa O'Sullivan has warned government agencies and communities must urgently adapt to escalating climate change risks to guard against future fire-fueled catastrophes. Ms. O'Sullivan found six systematic issues in the state's bushfire response, including its communication and warning systems, fire prediction modelling and bushfire risk classification. Lionel Bucket lives in Mount Toma and attended all 6 days of the inquiry.
It's a bit of a zero as far as doing anything about seeing that it doesn't happen again. It's 28 pages that aren't really affecting us in our situation. Nothing about hazard reduction, nothing about why the national parks aren't managed properly and why the RFS are managing the national parks, nothing about killing all the animals, nothing about compensation for all the people who lost so much.
One in five social work undergraduate students are withdrawing from study due to financial stress, according to the sector's Education Council. The research commissioned by the Australian Council of Heads of Social Work Education found social work students are often skipping meals and facing housing insecurity because of onerous unpaid student placements. The per capita report reveals students face 1,000 hours of placements, or the equivalent of 6 months full-time work without pay, to complete their degree. Progress on addressing the gender pay gap could be sped up by creating opportunity for job sharing and more part-time senior positions. That's the message from the CEO of the Workplace Gender Equality Agency. Addressing the National Press Club on the 26th of March, Mary Wooldridge says just 7% of managers work part-time compared to 22% of non-managers. The variant, she says, highlights the high expectations set by some employers, stifling female progression.
There's a clear message. If you want to progress to a senior level, you have to follow the full-time, always-on approach. This largely excludes from management anyone, and that could be women and men, who cannot or do not want to work full-time. Further, many industries are dominated by one gender and have a pipeline issue, particularly in line-related roles.
And in sport, two teams will join the NRL's women's competition from next year as the league takes the next step in growing the women's game. The Canterbury-Bankstown Bulldogs will enter the top women's league for the first time, with the New Zealand Warriors returning to the competition after a six-year hiatus. The addition of the teams will extend the NRLW regular season to 11 weeks with a two-week finals campaign. NRL CEO Andrew Abdo says the expansion will help develop the grassroots level of the game.
As we've grown at the elite level, so we've seen the inspiration of our players and our professional players provide to young people. And we've seen some incredible growth in participation across the country and across the Tasman. And I want to share some of those numbers with you. We're up to 40,000 females registered to play rugby league. And a couple of years ago, before the advent of the NRLW competition, that number was under 10,000.
And that is NITV Radio's News Wrap of the Week.
Your community, your conversation. NITV Radio. Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Luana Grant, and you're listening to NITV Radio. Still to come on the show, I chat to Sani Ray Townsend from Bangarra Dance Theatre about Dance Clan 2024. And we also share Maddie Mills' sit-down interview with Becca Hatch. But first, here are a few stories from our NITV news team. A youth curfew in Alice Springs has been labelled a draconian knee-jerk reaction. The Territory's largest Aboriginal legal service says that the emergency declaration will not make the town safer and will only criminalise vulnerable children. The NT government imposed the curfew after days of violent unrest and vandalism attacks in the centre.
The first night of a two-week curfew banning children from the centre of Alice.
Last night was a pretty good night for Alice Springs. We only arrested around 14 people.
Mate, they're taking 20-metre jumps and jumping in the glass trying to smash it.
It's this attack on a pub that sparked the emergency measures.
Oh, she's got a brick.
The fact that the curfew exists doesn't mean that we're going to start locking up kids. The objective is to keep kids out of the criminal justice system relating to a curfew. But if they do commit violent crime, they'll be arrested and taken to the court where they can answer to a judge.
But the curfew has been condemned by lawyers who may end up representing children targeted by the bans.
It's a band-aid solution, it's a retrograde step, it's not going to make the community safer, it's just going to criminalise incredibly vulnerable young people.
The violence and vandalism broke out after the funeral of an 18-year-old man killed in a car crash. A riot involving 150 people, armed with axes and knives, linked to feuding over that tragedy.
And the Chief Minister calling emergencies don't just happen after one incident. This is a back-to-back-to-back several months and years of destruction and damage in our community.
We are imploring the government to actually consult with Aboriginal community-controlled organisations and Aboriginal communities before they take draconian steps like this.
But many Aboriginal organisations have backed the curfew, the Central Land Council calling the violence senseless and shameful. The region's biggest Aboriginal health provider says the emergency situation is a required circuit breaker that will lead to an immediate improvement. It has further been caused by many years of lack of investment by successive governments, especially out bush.
The people of Alice Springs deserve to be safe. The violence has been unacceptable, and I am pleased to see the Northern Territory Government taking action.
60 extra police arrived in Alice today. They will join reinstated police liquor inspectors in a major crackdown on alcohol. Michael Park, NITV News.
First Nations students across New South Wales are finding a new way to connect to culture at school. Run by the Bangarra Dance Theatre, a series of workshops has seen students from more than 100 schools across the state come together for a lesson in traditional knowledge through the movement of dance.
Finding the beat to a different style of learning. Hundreds of First Nations school students gathering for one of 10 workshops run by the Bangarra Dance Company. An opportunity to learn from some of the most esteemed in the industry.
It feels like an honour to be working with them because their experience doing dances is really good.
And unite with peers.
What has been another highlight for you joining this?
Meeting them, making new friends, and just getting to dance.
It's a 14-year collaboration with the New South Wales Department of Education, bringing together students from 115 public schools across the state to teach new moves from an ancient art form.
For me, it's immensely satisfying to see these kids partaking in workshops like this because it wasn't there for us when we were going through schools and stuff, and the reason why we created programs like this now so that our kids can see people like themselves, Indigenous people up there teaching.
While providing the steps needed to connect to culture.
I think it gives them a sense of pride and identity. And once you know that as a person, you change.
For some, it's an opportunity to unlock potential.
I first discovered this program in Year 7 and I auditioned myself, I think it was 2016, and I got into the company.
Now she's carving a path on stage for others to follow in her footsteps.
It's a full circle moment. Like, I didn't expect to, especially this soon, to be, like, in their position teaching the kids.
Discovering new moves and new opportunities. Emma Kellaway, NITV News.
An exhibition featuring works from First Nations artists who specialise in neutral dyeing techniques has opened in Sydney. It's the first major exhibition in the brand new $44 million expansion of the Powerhouse Museum.
Ancient practices showcased in a contemporary space. Works and materials transformed by natural dyes in an exhibit titled Alchemy.
We just went with a great concept and just wanting to highlight the botanical knowledges of Indigenous artists nationally.
Created by female-led First Nations collectives, communities and artists from around the country, each with their own techniques.
I started making last year as soon as I found out that the exhibition was happening, and it was all about dyeing with the eucalyptus, which is what I love to do and what, for me, gives the best colours. And it's just looking at every piece of art here today. It's just amazing.
The exhibition is the first to be staged at Powerhouse Castle Hill and opened over the weekend to thousands of visitors.
It's an honour to know that so many people have gone through and are engaged with those artists' work. That's what it's all about. I want to promote the practice and how precious that practice is and how amazing it is that it's still going and the history and the future of that practice.
Just touches your heart, hey, touches your heart. I'm going to cry. Yeah, it was just really lovely because how everybody was here participating and appreciating everything and being able to meet the other artists as well, bringing my family here to have a look and really enjoy it with me.
An opportunity for the public to engage with a practice thousands of years old.
I wanted it to be an exhibition where a little kid could go in and sit down and understand the content very easily and kind of get a taste of what it feels like. And so I hope that kids and adults can kind of get the tactility of this kind of practice.
Alchemy is open to the public at Powerhouse Castle Hill every weekend for the next 3 months. Ricky Kirby, NITV News.
A retail shop in Brisbane that only sells First Nations products is providing an outlet for more than 100 black businesses from around the country. Open House has been operating for 5 years to raise awareness and demand for our unique brands and products.
From jewellery and homewares to clothing and books, Open House in Brisbane's West End is all First Nations products.
It's definitely the amazing work of many, many creative people. There's probably over 120 different stockists, different First Nations art centres from all around Australia, small local makers, more established small Australian brands.
The brainchild of Mia Godding and some established black labels, the shop also provides an outlet for up-and-coming artists, designers and small businesses.
I think it's a combination of awareness and more First Nations designers, makers, small businesses, getting into the market and being seen and, hopefully that's where we help to play a role in that growth.
After 5 years in business, the support of the community has been crucial to the store's success.
We're really lucky to be in such a supportive community. People really value what we do and what we offer. So we feel like we support the community and feel very supported by the community.
Self-determination through art, fashion and business. Dan Rennie, NITV News.
NITV Radio, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 1 p.m. or anytime online. Visit sbs.com.au/NITV Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to NITV Radio. Recently, I had a chat with Sani Ray Townsend from Bangarra Dance Theatre about Dance Clan 2024, a program for emerging and mid-career Indigenous creatives who have the opportunity to collaborate with leading industry professionals while creating a series of short original dance works with Bangarra.
My name is Sunny Ray Townsend. I am currently the Youth Programs Coordinator at Bangarra Dance Theatre.
Can you tell us a little bit more about Dance Clan?
So Dance Clan was created back in early 2000s, late 1990s, for dancers who, wanted to have a creative expression through choreography. And I was lucky enough to be asked by Francis Rinks, current Artistic Director of Bangarra, to be a part of last year's Dance Clan. And the different thing about the Dance Clan, because it was on a bit of a hiatus last year, was that we got to work the chosen choreographers, because they had to apply. The dancers actually had to apply, and the alumni apply for, put in their, creative expression. And then Fran and a bunch of other people select which works are really, you know, they really like.
Mm-hmm.
And then with that, we got to work with other Indigenous creative, First Nations creatives. So we had a costume designer, lighting design, and then set design. I got to work with TV woman, Claire Helen.
Mm-hmm.
And the lighting design was Karen Norris, a Maori woman. And the set design, well, I didn't really have a set, but the other choreographers that were chosen to do be a part of Dance Clan last year worked with Sana. Yeah, and she's a Blue Mountains woman. It was really nice to work with Claire and with Karen as well, with the lighting design, because my piece that I did last year, it's called Kōka, which means blood.
Mm-hmm.
And I was more or less exploring how a lineage and clanship and totemship comes to us as Torres Strait Islanders. Yeah, I didn't have, you know, any set, but I worked with the lighting with Karen, and like sitting with Claire and telling Claire, showing her my ideas and then my mood board on, you know, the colours of our totems and our clans, and just explaining to her that a story that was given to me by my grandfather,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, bringing that to life in, you know, their dances, what they're going to be wearing when they dance. And because, you know, with Claire, she is proper fashionista. Like, she's got her own label and everything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She's had one of her garments, I think, on, like, one of the red carpets.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was, I think it might have been the Oscars. Don't quote me on that, but, like, yeah.
How cool.
Yeah, and then she just did correspondence for the Melbourne Fashion Week Festival. Yeah, or the First Nations designers. But, yeah, her stuff is amazing.
That's so cool. And who is the program open to, and how many people are chosen, like, out of all the applications? How does that process work?
I think if you have a strong sense of fashion design, a strong sense of, you know, creating sets, and, you know, having to, you know, wanting to light the stage and stuff, you have to be First Nations first and foremost to, you know, apply, because this is more or less like a little springboard to help them, like, jump into the industry. Well, you know, they could either be, you know, emerging, mid-career, or getting there to be established. And, yeah, it's just that little platform that gives them that extra spring and a bit more exposure as well.
Yeah, that's really awesome. And, like, for the people who are successful, what will they be embarking on? And, you know, as you mentioned, it's, you know, this it's an amazing opportunity. You know, what will be open to them in terms of, like, collaborating?
When you apply, I think it goes, like I said, it goes through the rehearsal director and Fran and a few other people. So they select the candidates and the finalists.
Mm-hmm.
And then they work closely with the choreographer and the choreographer's vision.
Yeah.
And it's purely all collaborative between all, between the set designer, the lighting design, and the costume design. I think last year I had about maybe 6 weeks to put the work together.
Mm.
And the choreographers are given 20 minutes to create the piece. So they've got a 20-minute piece all to themselves. I opted out of the 20 minutes and I did 15, but then I didn't realise that, like, the three of the choreographers that were in Dance Clan last year, one of those choreographers get a double bill with the company this year. So my work is double billing with the main company. And then, like, I've changed the whole look of it as well. Mm. It's an amazing experience. And, you know, you get to sit in a room with other creatives and, you know, at production meetings and just talk about, you know, what the look of your production wants to be. I think my advice would be really hone in on what your vision is and stay true to that vision. Because the beautiful thing is when you see it evolve and immerse out of nothing, then, you know, that's literally all your blood, sweat and tears. And, you know, you get to use, I think there's 16 of the dancers in the company. So the dancers and the company are at your disposal. I chose to use 10 dancers and, you know, it's all my creative process is always fun and I like to have a good laugh and it's not always so serious. And I think the other exciting thing is once you see it come to fruition is the week leading up to it, you know, in their production week where you actually see the whole thing that pieces together. And then you have, you know, you come in and you do your plotting. Plotting meaning, you know, you're setting your lights and the dances and then you see how the costumes work under the lights. And how the costume, you know, complements the set, if there is a set design. There were some really amazing ideas last year.
It sounds awesome and such a great opportunity for people that want to get a little bit more exposure. And thank you so much for coming on to have a chat on NITV Radio and all the best with your travelling that you've got coming up.
It's all weird, sis.
Thanks for the chat.
Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio. Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to NITV Radio. Becca Hatch, a proud Kamilaroi and Samoan singer and songwriter, has recently released a new track, which has already become a hit and caught the attention of R&B producer Timbaland. NITV News' Maddie Mills sat down with Becca to chat about her new single, Bass Keeps Calling.
Yeah, the bass keeps calling. Yeah, the bass keeps calling now. Yeah, the bass keeps calling.
Well, Becca Hatch is back. The brand new singer, Bass Keeps Calling, is an absolute banger. Tell me about how this song came to life.
I had just been, like, wanting to make dance music and, like, a bunch of music that made me feel, like, energized and inspired and, I don't know, like, excited to want to play the shows live and play the songs live. I was inspired by being, like, out at night, going to raves, going to the parties, and that's kind of where Bass Keeps Calling came from. It was literally, like, the song is about when the bass keeps calling. So that's why.
Now the video for Bass Keeps Calling is inspired by the Boiler Room events. It looks like everyone on that set had a good time, a massive party. Is that what happened?
So it's cool to kind of like get together and recreate this, like, I don't know, this atmosphere and this space and this community. Yeah, it was so funny. We actually just, like, threw a party that day and just filmed it, which was so much fun.
The whole place jump like a gold bouquet. DJ stop, but the bass keeps calling out. Yeah, the bass keeps calling.
I like that.
And drop
like
crazy.
Yeah, the bass keeps calling out.
It's a vibe.
There is definitely a newfound confidence with this new track. Tell me, what was your initial reaction to Timbaland reacting live to it on TikTok?
Yeah, I can't even. I was so nervous that day. I was like shaking. My hands were just like, I couldn't even keep still. Timbaland does these like reaction live streams where you send your songs in. You send like 2 or 3 songs in and you have to go live. So I didn't know you had to go live with him on TikTok for him to actually like react to your songs. And I was like, yeah, I can't talk to him in front of all these people. So I'm scared. And I just thought, oh my gosh, if Timbaland says it's bad, you know, I'm just not going to drop music, you know. I'm not. I'm going back into my shell. But it ended up being so sick, and I don't know, I just couldn't believe that he actually liked it. And then to have him, you know, be like, nah, this is sick. It's really validating.
You've just performed at Fashion Week. I know the fashion world can be quite intimidating, but you knocked that performance out of the park. Tell me, what does it take to bring a performance like that to life?
I've been working on this kind of like newfound like live show with dancers, and like for me, dancing has always been something that is just really fun. I've modeled before it like back in the day, but I've never done something to that extent of like actually playing a full like set down a runway. I don't know, I had to get into the zone. Before I went in, I was like, hey, gonna channel some energy, and I feel like I just went to a different place. This is like me as like a different person, so.
We're seeing you do everything now. We're seeing choreography, you know, an elevation to your performance. What does it feel like to find this newfound confidence?
It's been like small little things that have led up to here. And I feel like finally at this point, dancing and being able to go out and play shows, and I don't know, it feels like I'm finally at this point. But I feel like it's been a long grind. It's like, yeah, I don't know, it's been a few years in the making, so I'm just excited to be where I'm at now.
Well, thank you so much for your time today on NITV, and congrats on the new track and all the success coming your way.
Thanks for having me.
Join the conversation on radio, online, and mobile. You're with NITV Radio. On radio, online, and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
And that's all we have time for on today's program. You can listen back to the show anytime online or catch any of our stories on our website at sbs.com.au. NITV Radio will be back next week with more stories from right across the country. I'm your host, Luana Grant. Thanks so much for listening and have a great long weekend. Kulbaya daya garya ya kulba kulbaya dai kulbaya daye kulbaya daye. We'll be right back.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.